crazy.
And action. So
we back. What's up?
This is episode three
of
season three. So it's 3 for 3, and it's on the third. Today is March 3rd. Wow. Today is March. Oh, fuck.
Drugs.
Tomorrow is March 3rd. Wow, by the time you see it, it'll be the 13th. Please, leave me alone,
So, yes. What's up, friends? We got a special guest today.
Who do we have here? Is like some dude with no legs.
I feel like you can't see me because you keep on having to turn.
Let me back up a little bit.
I feel like I'm messing up the line here.
Nah, you're good.
Right. You got legs though. Right. It's not fair. We might gotta jump them.
Little hate going on.
I feel out of place.
You're right at home.
I feel like I'm about to get beat up.
You're right at home. No, we ain't about to jump you, man.
We only jump people on Fridays.
Right at home, bro.
We good. I'm one day early.
We got a special guest, Ranger.
Thank you.
Shout out, Brooklyn.
Yep.
South by Say.
Where are we originating from, though?
Yeah, you know, we have to definitely give a shout out to my motherland, to Haiti. Shout out to all my Haitians. Shout out to my mom.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? My squad, my family. I truly appreciate y'all. And if I'm going to take it back to high school, the Haitian locker base.
So you're from Brooklyn?
Yeah, man. I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you
for coming. Actually, yeah, I'm grateful for being here. You know, when this thing happened, I was telling you, when this thing happened to me, I didn't feel comfortable because before I got my knees, I was in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, getting in a wheelchair for the first time, it's a scary thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, especially when you know how we are in Brooklyn. Like, we always moving around.
I ain't from Brooklyn. Yeah. Don't say facts. What you doing?
That's why I was throwing that time.
You're not from Queens.
I live in Brooklyn now. I don't live all over the city. I used to live in Harlem. I'm from Far Rockaway. I'm from Queens.
Oh, all right. Well, it's
love. Big Queens. You about to get jumped again.
Damn.
So we have, like we said, we have a special guest, and we're gonna get into his story. But you know how Jesse, he always does our what do we do in the beginning?
Oh, we're gonna do a temperature check.
Yes, let's check everybody's temperature.
You know, Valentine's Day was you know what I mean? Emotions could be high and low. So I mean, let's go around and see. You know,
how are you feeling? How was your Valentine's Day?
How was my Valentine's Day? This Valentine's Day, I was single.
Oh my God.
This Valentine's Day.
Seriously single.
Y'all seriously single.
Okay.
I ain't do nothing. I just chilled. I didn't want to, you know, chill with somebody's nasty, sticky daughters this weekend, this year. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be by myself this Valentine's Day, and I actually enjoyed myself. What I did was, though, later on this week, I usually give my mom mad flowers on Valentine's Day. Okay. I surprised her on Saturday. So I went to the crib, told her to come downstairs. She didn't know. Told her to get ready. Surprise, she came downstairs, had flowers in the back of the car. She said the flowers. Nice. She loved Walmart, so I took her to Walmart. Nice. Everybody loves Walmart.
Target and Walmart. Yeah.
And then I told her to get her nails done. It was just a whole day about her. Then we went out to a steakhouse.
Nah, that's my girl. That's my homie, man. I'm glad you did that for her, man.
That's nice.
Yeah, so, that's dedicated. You know what I mean?
It's just about love. It's not about role. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner. It could just be somebody you love. So you show mama love some love.
Yeah, because I always spend it with, if I can spend time with women all the time
I can spend it with my mother, you know what I'm saying, it's about love.
Yeah.
It's not about like we put so much pressure on the romance side of it, and it's like, yo, bro, just love me.
Just love me. Did that with his mom. I bought my daughter the bouquet of roses. Took her out, her and my grandson, her and pop. I'm saying, it don't got to be about a significant other.
Right?
We had a great time. Yeah, that's took her out. Mm. Even though everybody think that's my damn girl, but that's my daughter and my grandson.
But is it, you look young. That's
you got to understand, bro. You and your grandson look about 4 years apart. He's
so adorable.
What about the love, man?
So you, when you went out, it was you, Mira and your daughter went out to eat. You guys just got a little bouquet of roses. That was nice. That wasn't a little flowers. Yeah, both did big flowers. I said, okay.
I'm big on flowers. I like to flow flowers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I sent the flowers to Job and all that type of stuff. It was my topic.
We had a good time.
My Valentine's Day, I literally spent it with my child, and that's what I, you know, when we spoke last time, I said that's what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. We just, his dad took him to get me flowers, so he came home like, Mommy, I got your roses. He gave them to me, and then I put them in a vase, and he was so happy. And then he woke up, he went to school, and then I picked him up from school. And at school, it was so cute, because my mom and my dad has always been like my Valentine, you know, the same way you are with your daughter. So my mom surprised me at the school, and then she went out. We all took the baby to Chuck E. Cheese, and we just had a good time, and then we ate, and it was just a beautiful day, and my mom bought me flowers, too. You know, it was just really nice. The love that's unconditional is the most important, because a lot of the times we get with temporary people, you know what I mean? And then we put a lot of permanent feelings on temporary people. The people that stuck with you is the people that you was born with and the people that you brought into this world. You know what I mean? That's your parents and your children. Anything further than that could be here today, going tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. So just appreciate those that you have. Mm-hmm. And what did you do for Valentine's Day, young man? He smiled.
I'm actually engaged to a beautiful lady that don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Because every day is Valentine's Day, we fuck with the real one.
So we kind of just chilled in the crib. And I was waiting for my new sockets anyway. So we really ain't doing much. I just sent text messages to everybody. I'm usually...
Not everybody. Who's everybody?
Like, as far as, like, well, the ladies in my family. I can't say
everybody. Oh, okay.
The ladies in my family. Word. So, like, her mother, my mother, like, grandmothers, you know, aunts and stuff. People like that.
People that do celebrate it and that's in your life.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's pretty much it. I used to be a very romantic, but... Like, you know, my lady don't do it. So
if your partner is not into it, you adjust it. I just put the money in the savings account. Yeah, that's it. And you show her love every day.
Every day.
Yeah, so that's what I'm at.
I think that's the thing with her. It's like, we don't need, like, we be watching certain things and we like, we do this on a daily basis.
That's literally my dog.
Like,
it's okay. Yeah,
that's my dog.
Yeah, those are the best relationships. Your best friend. Have your eyes, your best friend.
Can I be honest?
Please.
It's the best and the worst.
Okay.
You know what it's like?
Because you know each other too well.
You know somebody that know you so well. It's annoying, bro.
You know yourself, bro, and then
why do y'all ladies do? Why y'all do it on purpose?
Don't ask me that. Why? What if she be like,
I get on your nerves. You know you get on your nerves.
You gotta be careful with that answer. Because if you said you get on your nerves.
No, that's not even nothing. The worst one is when we be like, do you think I'm a bitch? And he's like, well.
No, I don't answer that.
You can't answer that.
My Bible said,
the person that I know be like, oh, you know, I don't think you're a bitch. I just think sometimes you could be a bitch. what does that mean?
In your head, you think he called you a bitch.
Oh, so I'm like,
Whatever they want to think.
I tell my fiance is that, look, I love you all the time, but sometimes I don't like you.
And that's okay.
And that's love.
I tell her, I love you all the time. Like, and then there was a situation that we went through one day, and she was sleeping next to me, and we were booking a flight. That same night, she was sleeping next to me, and the argument was so tense. It was such a bad argument that I really should not be booking this flight. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But this is my wife. I don't really care. I'm not going to... I tell her all the time, like, this is not a battlefield.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not playing with you. I don't play about you. I play for you. Right. I'm on your team. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say this. It's annoying because we got in that bad argument and I'm just sitting there looking and I can't stand your guts. I'm booking the fight.
We're
going
to go to JetBlue.
Like, I'm like,
we're going window seats. You fly.
Separate the seats.
Yeah, like.
So you get on a plane, like, so there's nothing you can do? You sure? You can't put it? Okay.
But it's a good and a bad thing because it's like, I love you so much. I got your back, but you're a pain back.
That's love.
Also, I want to do, what is a temperature check as far as, like, how's everybody feeling mentally? How you feeling, sis, mentally from 1 to 10?
Honestly, I'm doing pretty well. Like, I'm at, like, a 9. I want to say a 9. I'm good.
You've been consistent.
I've been just consistent with just making myself happy and choosing myself.
So, can I admit that Because, like, usually when we do ask, she'd be like, oh, I'm, like, around 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Are you having a great, is your year starting off, like, really great?
Well, you know, obviously, no, my year started off shitty because I had the flu and bronchitis and mm-hmm. asthma. But that's all going away now. God is mm-hmm. good. But I want to say February was pretty, I mean, it's just like a, it's just when you start taking away all the distractions and simple things that we make excuses for and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you start to realize, like, okay, I was bullshit. He said it was me. It was me. It's all right. Damn. And that was the hardest part. But once I got over that hurdle with, like, damn, I have to take accountability and be a bigger person of myself. Because mm-hmm. it's literally, like, me fighting with myself. Like, no, you have to, no, you know what I mean? So once I took those adjustments, I'm like, nah, like, life is pretty good. Like, I have it really well. I have a healthy son that loves the shit out of me. I have a beautiful apartment. I have a beautiful family and support Hello. System. I got a lot of loved ones, and I got a lot of people who support me and are rooting for me.
And not to mention, you have a beautiful soul. So.
Aw, thank you, Ranger.
Gratitude, baby. Gratitude. That's the key, man. That's the key to life.
I'm really just grateful.
That's the key to life. Being grateful and having gratitude.
What about, wait, we're gonna get to Ranger, but what about Mr.
Tulum Poppy?
100K.
Oh, yeah.
We got 100K. How you feeling? Anybody got it?
I come in bougie and shit, late and shit now. You got 100K YG.
Stop. Nah, he showed up earlier. My boy,
I was here first. I was here first. Still, hardest working man in show.
Ranger popped up first.
I was like,
the nigga with legs, though.
What a coffee. True that. I did. Yeah.
You got an advantage, bro. Come on.
Yeah, that is true.
You could have ran here for a week.
You was waiting. Shit. You was waiting for me. You was waiting for me downstairs. And I'm like, I'm the one with the legs. So, like,
nah. just shut up.
I feel good, though. Like, I feel good, though.
Let me hold the door for you. And that is literally, thank you so much, because that was my first time meeting, and you made that such an amazing mm-hmm. transaction. Thank you.
You're already, so. Thank you. So, I feel great, though. I feel, you know what I'm saying? Well,
what,
I had a
what
crazy.
What number
are
you at?
From 1 to 10.
I made it. I'm a little traumatized over this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. So, like, a 7?
I'm like 8-ish, 7. Besides that, but I'm also grateful. I'm still alive.
So tell him what happened.
I'm still alive. All right, so I was in Tulum this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. My boy Kel, shout out to him. It was his birthday weekend. We out there partying, man. We in Taboo, turnt lit. Like, y'all, it's crazy. Shit was lit. Saturday, we had a great time, having the time of our lives. Sunday, it was a yacht party. So cool. We get on the yacht, and it's not as big as it was. First date, they was forced advertisement pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then so it wasn't as big as, we had a lot of people with us, and it wasn't as big as it was, right? So it was supposed to be. So long story short, we're on the boat, and the waves, it's just rocking for like the first hour. And it's rocking so much so that you gotta hold on to something to hold on, because it's like mm-hmm. getting crazy. And next thing you know, people are just like, it got to the point people are like started throwing up. People were getting seasick. So it was just like,
and really, I would have really, threw up. I would have threw up if I seen that. Like, oh my God,
people
they're
started throwing
up.
It was really crazy. It got to be real crazy. And then after, so I was like an hour in, and then you noticed the what happened. So the workers, they were speaking amongst each other. They were speaking in Mexican, and you couldn't. It was hard, really hard to understand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they just speaking amongst each other. We asked them what's going on. They're like, oh no, it's good. I smell. You know how
Poppy,
like
it's not good. No,
you know how when like a car breaks down, you smell like that rubber, that that smell?
Something?
Yeah, I'm like, this shit ain't right. Something
in the ocean, I would have tweeted.
Bro, I'm like, something is not right. So long story short, and then like right after that, I swear, it was like 2 minutes after that, like the one of the workers dives into the ocean. And it was like another boat close by. He's like saying to the boat, like, yo, like I don't know if he's trying to get a jump. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, yo, so we like, yo, what's going on? So then the captain or whatever, he's like, yeah, so one of the motors blew, but he's gonna fix it. I'm saying in my head,
he gonna
fix it underwater? Like, how the fuck you gonna fix that? So, bro, it just got, everybody started panicking. People just throwing up, like I said. It was real crazy. And then, long story short, it took them, like, what, they called their jefe, their boss or whatever, and it was like another hour. So now we're on there, just in the middle of the ocean. I'm talking about, you can't see nothing this way, you can't see nothing that way. Just in the middle of the ocean, the water finally calmed down, and they said they were going to send a rescue boat for us. Mm-hmm. So we had to send the rescue boat. Finally came after another hour, and so that is 3 hours into it. And rescue boat came. We got the women on first, and then my boy Kels got me on his back. It's a video
because
on my...
it's no. It was literally like, when you watch the video, it's no stairs or anything.
No,
it's
no
so
stairs.
You had to jump.
Yeah, you got with me on his back from one boat to the next, which was
Friends.
Like really crazy. Which the
How
wind,
many
the
wa- of us have
yeah, waves, wow. boats rocking back and forth. That shit was crazy.
I'm
so
you said, he said woman and children were like the Titanic, like it was like, bro, the last ride, right?
They nigga thought it was oh, I'm like, God, you got me checking out like this
just in case.
I said, God, like, after everything we done have been through, bro, you got, I'm gonna check out like this.
You
should have
just killed me with the bullet, my nigga. Why you said, do this, bro, you let, why you do like, this,
nah,
my nigga,
you brought me this far for this shit. Why you
is that normal?
Word,
is
right?
That normal? Like, what's, do that? You think about that often? Like,
what's that?
After everything you went through, and then when you, sometimes when you face like a physical hardship, like something like you faced, mm-hmm. you know, like, for, does that make, not, it doesn't scare you, because if you anything, like I think you are, mm. it's like, we've been through this, so it's, there's no more.
Yeah,
you
know, I don't get shook. And
yeah,
I don't get,
like, you don't get shook.
Not
like,
that, not, it's, kinda, it's really hard for,
yeah,
me to
be in
something.
Do you think of it like, well, this could be it now?
Yeah. I mean, that instance, it was, like I said, it was a lot going on. And I wasn't the only one. It was like 15 of us. So to watch everyone, and it's crazy because I got really, really quiet. Everyone else, me and Kels were the only one literally that was quiet on the boat. He was leaning on me. Mm. I'm holding on to something. He's leaning on me. He's like, and he was the biggest dude on the trip, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone else was like, just all the women, they just like, oh my God, so what's going on? What are you going to do? And yo, this is crazy. And I'm tired. I'm throwing up. Everybody just saying whatever they're saying. I'm quiet because I'm literally, I'm praying. And also, I'm seasick. I feel the throw up about to come up, but I'm just like,
somebody has to be, somebody has,
somebody
got to
be safe. Yeah, so the whole
everybody's
time.
Everybody's just panicking. The shit going to go down fast.
Exactly. Yeah, and facts. I'm just, like I said, so I'm prayed up. I'm just like, all right, God, mm-hmm. I know it ain't, this ain't about to happen. And then the real crazy thing happened because my boy, best friend, he called me in the middle of it. And this what kind of really chilled, made me calm and relaxed. He was said had his baby mother passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my good, she's like a sister to me. Mm-hmm. And she's like a real friend. Yeah, so that, in the middle of that. And I was like, all right, no matter what, like, I'm here. I'm present. And that's what made me more present in the moment. You get what I'm saying? Because I was like, she passed away.
Yeah.
I'm still got my life. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, we're going to get through this. And that's just what I was thinking. I was like, all right, we're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was just praying. But other than
and
that.
And nothing, the only way you can look at it is nothing you could do about it either way.
True. That's it. It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't nothing. That it got
you,
to that.
You don't know how to fix no boat. You can get that. So it's like, you just got to sit there, trust in God, and have your faith.
That's it. Right. Your faith.
And I think trauma really makes you a little more comfortable with that. With the fact that,
yeah, oh yeah, the fact that you've been through,
yeah,
something,
like,
yeah, been through,
like, when you go through something like we've gone through, you don't really stress.
It depends on the person.
Like, it doesn't,
but it depends
well,
on the person, because
exactly,
some people that get, it's some people that don't ever come back outside. And some people
what?
That's
do,
gonna go jump out of planes and shit. And then there's people in the middle like us. Because I'm not about to go jump out no motherfucker.
I do know some people.
I'm not really planning on jumping out no plane. Honestly, I'm good on that. You know, I shout out to my niggas that do. But I'm not really gonna do that. But at the end of the day, some people that it makes them want to live more on the wild side, the adrenaline rushing. And then some people like they fold up. And then there's some people that's just, you know what, I'm gonna live my life. I'm not gonna let nothing stop in me.
Right,
so that's
right,
how
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how we are. I feel like you know, and only and I walk or roll, whatever you want to call it. I roll so much on my faith. You get what I'm saying? Mm. That it's so big that I don't let anything put fear in me.
Because
the only thing that I fear, only thing that I fear is something taking me away from my son. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. Like my child. Like that's the only thing I think about when I'm outside.
Right.
So I move more tactical and strategic.
Right.
But I don't
get
like
what you're saying,
brother.
Like me personally, just going through something to track like that. Like we all been through. And it could be, I think it's a blessing.
Nigga, you
want
to vote about the though? Jesse gonna be the first one to take it.
I don't feel anything.
Yeah, it's sad because it's like you really.
Like, I was scared.
When you say you don't
fear,
it's not like you don't get startled. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when you really sit there and you think about, like, for instance, with me, it's sad, but I think about death like every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, in the Uber coming over here, my head is, you know, down, I'm napping. Every time I feel the car stop, I'm like, this is it. It's about to.
That's a sign of PTSD, though.
That's definitely a sign of PTSD.
It definitely is. Yeah. And I think the only reason why I've been able to balance it out so much is, like you said, my faith.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because though I believe that this could be it, I strongly believe that I can't be taken out. I can't.
Amen.
You can't take me out until God says, all right, it's time for you to come home.
It's clipped for you.
So it's like, you got to understand, I've been shot, bro. I've been stabbed. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Down to get hit by a car and lose both of my legs. It's like, you know.
So
you wake up in the hospital, you like, oh, thanks, God.
So what's your story?
But we want to get into for people, for the viewers to know. Because usually we do French facts and stuff like that. But, you know, we got this, this guest in here, he making his work for real. You hear? He has been his shit. So the French facts today is whatever Ranger says, okay? So let's just get straight into it. How is it? Like, what happened? What year? When? How? What? When? What? Mm-hmm. Blah? All that.
June 17th, 2020.
That's my birthday.
Is it?
That's my birthday.
That's crazy.
Wow. June 17th, when?
June 17th, 2021.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So it's
been less than 2 years.
It's really new.
Yeah,
2 years.
That's
crazy.
June will
make it 2 years. Yeah. So I'm very big on, like, you know, helping. Like, I live a life of service. That's okay. Just, you know, that's just me. It's always been. So I was aiding this elderly lady to, I was helping her bring food to her family.
Okay.
You know, not just a family friend. Call mm-hmm. me like, yo, bro, you know, my mom.
Is she Haitian?
Because mm-hmm.
I realize in a lot of West Indian cultures, especially when other people, mostly Haitians too, when they come to another country or whatever, and they have friends or family of that same nationality mm-hmm. country, y'all really look out for each other.
Yeah, well, we try to, yeah. Stay, you know.
It's always going to be something, but yeah, for the most part, it's always going to be like something, but
for the most part, yeah, we do try to stick together.
Yeah, I don't like my uncle.
Fuck my No, you know what it is? It's like... Anyway, he called me like, yo, help her out. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I went over there, trying to help her out. And as I load, literally, I drive a Dodge Ram 1500. My truck is like 6'7". I got a big truck.
Your truck is big.
Yeah. Okay. So I load the standing on the floor now, you know what I'm saying? Facing the back of the truck. I load literally the very first... The very, very first case of groceries, mm. which I believe it was peaches, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And then all I heard was boom.
Oh my God.
And mind you, I'm facing
the trunk.
Yeah, so imagine the camera is, you know, the car. So
the
I'm
car,
facing.
You're facing.
Right, so.
If somebody came
I'm coming from a standing position to now sitting position. Mm. And I'm like, oh, this ain't right.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? I look down, bro.
Oh my God.
Says, I look down, all I see up are bones and blood.
Oh like, my God.
My bones are literally poking out of my jeans, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of blood, yeah. pressing up, pouring down. And initially, you know,
like,
you,
what's
you,
the first feeling you think? You,
me personally, I thought I was gonna go. Mm-hmm. I thought, because you gotta understand, like I said, though I don't believe, and I've always, my mother, my family will tell you, I always lived a life of faith. Like, I always followed God. So I never believed I can be killed. But I always believed I can be killed. Oh, I can die if he allows it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at that moment,
you felt like
you were like, yeah, okay, so this is the moment you allowing? All right, cool.
How tall were you?
I think I was, I think.
Nigga don't even know.
No, I was
no
like 5'7".
Okay, so right? You said you came from standing up, so the car hit
to
you.
To sitting down.
So the car just hit your leg, like,
boom.
It hit, and then it just severed under your, from which part?
My bones.
From my knees. Okay, so you still have your thighs.
Yeah, I still have, so this up here is my thighs.
Oh, mm-hmm. This is just covered with this
mm-hmm.
part. That's
yep.
Why. Okay, that's super cool.
Yeah.
But it took off just that whole, oh my God, and you felt it?
Instant.
Or was it just in shock and you couldn't
No,
do it?
I wasn't in shock. Honestly, I thought I was going to die. So what I did was, y'all going to think I'm nuts. I just grabbed my phone. So I'm sitting down and I'm like, all right, this is it. I've always, like, just let go of control. If I notice that it's out of my hands,
right.
I let go of it because there's only one way it could go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I never try to control things that are out of my control.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's strength, though.
So,
you know.
I looked down, and I'm like, yeah, it's a wrap.
Nigga said, it's a wrap.
You feel me? It's a wrap, but I let go of it because this is it's out of my control. What am I going to do? I can't put it together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. I left it up to him. Only thing I had to do was do my work down here as quick as possible. So I grabbed my phone out of my pocket, shot a video, and just told my family, like, look, y'all, I just got hit by a car.
Not even 911.
Nah,
you just called your family.
I recorded a video and I said, look, y'all, I just got hit. Because you're about to die, bro. Like, that's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have time to make phone
calls.
Send a video, send it quick, grab my phone. Look, I think I said, mom, my brother, my fiance, my family. I just told them, like, look, I love y'all, I'm about to die. That's it.
Damn.
Hey, you feel me? Right. Next thing I know, when they waking up 4 days later, I'm like, the very first thing I did, I looked up and I'm like, you can't love me that much. Mm. You gotta understand, bro, like, you're not from Brooklyn.
He about to get jumped after the show. It's a Friday.
You know, but you just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know, you guys are familiar.
Outside.
Yeah.
We've been outside,
you know,
everywhere.
We
grew up in Brooklyn everywhere.
I grew up in the style when the style was, you know, was best style, do or die.
Yeah.
Okay.
You feel me? It wasn't
Stuyvesant
Heights.
I know how
you feel me?
Get.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it wasn't Stuyvesant Heights. You dig me? So
before it was gentrified.
Right. So when you go through all of that from a youth age, you know, growing up in all of that, like, all right.
Yeah, you see so much.
It becomes the norm.
You feel me? You thinking this is it. I don't, like I said, I've been shot, I've been stabbed, I've been, I went through it all already. Mm. And then I woke up and I'm like, oh, okay, new life. Say no more. I got you. And then from there.
Like, were you grateful? What was your feelings when you first woke up? Like, what did you think? What did you feel?
I'm going to listen.
To God.
Yeah. It's like, how many times am I going to try to talk to you, bro?
So you was in the streets before? Like, you was outside doing bad things?
I'm going to listen.
He was a Zopan.
I'm going to listen.
I'm going to listen. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, a killer.
Because how many, like, because how many times? No, no.
God is
no,
ass.
No, I'm going to listen ass. Because how many times God is going to tell you, like, bro, just chill, like. You know what I mean? Like, relax. You don't need, you know, we grew up in neighborhoods where we had to be certain ways, but you don't got to be like
you
that.
Don't gotta be, yeah. I had a similar relation too. Yeah. I was just like, you know, I just thought, I thought that everything that I thought that the things that I wanted was good for me. Mm-hmm. But then I, like you said, and that's when I was just like, okay, God, I get it now.
I get it.
I'm going to just do what you, I'd rather take your path and do what you want for my life as opposed to what I want. Because mm-hmm. It's not working.
And we tried it for so
long. At this age, this is big age. I'm like, I'm 30-something. I'm 40. I'm going on 40. And I was just like, you know what? This
it's,
isn't...
It's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. Like, you know so I mean? I got to try something else. And I was like, you know what? Why not try what you want? You know what I'm saying?
And
like,
take your road.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing is like knowing that, yo, whatever I'm doing right now, I don't need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you now?
I'm 33.
God damn, he's old. Let me stop. So you were 32 then?
Yeah.
You were 31.
I was 31 when it happened. You were going 31. On 32.
Mm-hmm. So you were fairly into you first, you know, you fresh in your 30s. Because mm-hmm. 30s is like the part where it's like, all right, we start getting ourselves together. Like, you start to grow up. Because that your 20s, you can bullshit your 20s. But 30, it's like, all right, you're a certified adult now.
Right, right.
So it's like, if you're still outside and you're outside and you're probably that dude, right? Well, like, you doing what you got to do for yourself. You taking care of home, taking care of your responsibilities. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then this happens. And it's like, okay, God, I take your message. I'm going to take heed. So... After those films, how was, like, because you were already engaged before?
No, I wasn't engaged before. I was actually getting ready to move to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. So were you with the same girl? You were with the same girl?
I was with the same, yeah.
And y'all was getting ready to make a move
Yeah,
together.
She was actually in Atlanta, but she was in Atlanta with her family. Like, I was getting ready to move to go, so,
Be
to get
her.
Us a spot, you know what I mean? No, but she lived in Jersey, but I'm saying, like, that, she was there not waiting for me to get there. I'm just clarifying that. But, yeah, when that happened, I was well into, all right, I need to start fixing my life. Okay. You know what I mean? My brother had just graduated high school. My mother was coming back from Haiti. So I was like, you know, I had a little bit of bread stacked up, ready to buy a crib. I had plans, you know, but you know what they say, you know, if you really want to make God laugh,
tell him your plans.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So when that happened, I was really into the mature part of my life. Like, all right, time to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like when I opened my eyes, it was just go back to finishing what you started. Mm. Isn't that crazy? That's literally what I was told. Wow. Like, I got you.
Like, finishing what you started? Yeah, in what aspect, though? Like,
just continue your life, bro. I got you.
Just keep living.
I got you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did?
That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And
how long were you in the
hospital? Less than 2 years for a month and 11 days.
Oh, yeah, you was in there for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Because especially for people with...
That's what everybody says. They're like, bro, you... Like I said, I heard. I got you. I healed up like this. Mm-hmm. Got sockets. That's very hard to get. You guys know, you know what we go through trying to get wheelchairs.
Going to get any type of equipment through insurance.
Trying to get wheelchairs from insurance. Imagine trying to get some $200,000 knees.
Yeah.
Ugh, they give you hell, but
somehow
I got all of it. You know what I mean? So
it's
crazy. Yeah, we're just gonna continue
like
doing
said,
the work
you.
For better people.
Like
I mean?
You said, I got
so
you.
So I met you. But I've talked to you on the phone 2 years ago. Like, right. I say yeah. How far along was you in your injury?
About three months.
All right. So that shows how, you know, I've got so much respect for this dude and admire him. My man wife, I used to went to school with his shorty. Nicole C.
Okay, cool.
And Eric the Rector.
My sister, yeah.
Yeah, e. I did some comedy thing with him.
Okay, so he sent me
your gram, whatever. And I'm like, yo, he said, yo, you should throw your podcast or just reach out to you, whatever. So I'm like, all right, like I'm used to reaching out to people that's newly in jail or something happens, right? So and I'm always preparing myself because I'm like, yo, I know what kind of, you know, attitude they're gonna have, they're gonna be down or yo, I'm ready for all that.
Right.
I called him. Yo, what's up? I'm thinking it's supposed to be a person, like this person not supposed to be down. He's talking to me, we talking, we having a conversation. I'm like, yo, how long ago was your injury again? He's like, yo, this just happened, this, that, third. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, your spirits is very hot for this happening to you and you, so I'm saying all this trauma. And I was really impressed. And I'm like, I was telling him, like, yo, this is really impressive. Also, a lot of times, though, when we go through certain things, it could be a shock. So we keep this positive attitude mm-hmm. as much as we could. So my question is for you is, has there been a time where, like, we see you with this positive attitude and it's remarkable, but has there been a time where depression hit or you'd be like, yo, this shit's really realistic and I'm not feeling this way right now?
Yeah. I think, and I that's a good question, and I think it's the most important thing for me, and that's the reason why I've been able to progress so rapidly, is because I allow myself to feel every emotion every time they come.
Amen.
Like, if I feel like crying, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not supposed to cry. I'm so grateful. I'm this, I'm that. Nah, bro, like, you can be grateful because you have your knees. You can be grateful because you have your life, but you still, you know, you have to grief. You know what I'm saying? You missing a part of you, a big part of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with me, I allow myself to feel every emotion. You know, there's times I wake up and, bro, I don't even want to put on my legs. I don't because it hurts so much.
Emotionally.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have those days.
Mm.
Those are the days where I put on my legs.
And you get going even faster.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the days where I get up and I go to the gym.
That's the same thing.
You know what I mean? Because that emotion, I'm about to knock you out.
Yeah.
You know? One time, I felt like that because I was practicing in the park. I go to the park for like 3-4 hours a day practice.
To walk,
yeah. Okay. I go up ramps, down ramps, and stuff like that. One time I was practicing and I fell a few times and it was hurting emotionally and physically. Okay. And I went and I sat in my truck and I just looked down at it and I'm like, you're dumb. If you truth be told, if you think you about to beat me, you dumb, bro.
I like this guy.
You think this is the win, bro? I said, bro, you got the right one, bro. Like, this is not defeat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a battle. It's not a fight.
You did it, man.
You feel me? It's a battle. Like, you literally on.
No, it's a war.
You might not win every battle. That's what
but you're gonna win the war.
It's war. Yeah, it's war. Like, you feel me? You literally on the field.
Yes.
You can't quit, bro.
And then you look at them just like, get your ass up. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
And then I would say, allow yourself to feel every emotion.
Yeah, I love that, bro. That's beautiful. That's another thing that I totally get that part, man. Because, like, I feel like, you know, especially as black men, a lot of people don't allow us to even like feel. Like, they don't want us to feel. If we feel something, it's like, oh, he's sensitive or he's whatever. Yeah, he just wants us to hold all that in and stuff like that. And it's whack because, like, I'm a human being. Like, I go through emotions and have feelings just like everyone else,
like
right?
Everybody else.
But that's the only way you could get past something is when you actually feel it.
Feel it. Yep.
Yeah, you got to feel it and acknowledge. You have to acknowledge it first in order to get past it. If you don't acknowledge it, how are you going to move forward from it?
But let's go deep then. Since it's still Black History Month because we lost the lecture 2 days, right? So with that emotion that you said that Black men are not allowed to feel, I feel like back during slavery times, there's a lot of things transferred down to this. You get what I'm saying? Black during slavery times, a lot of Black men didn't want the white man to see them hurt or crying or sad.
You know
what I'm saying? So they hid those emotions and then they taught their children those same emotions. I'm so sorry about that goddamn thing.
It's cool.
They taught their children them same goddamn emotions, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just a lot of the reasons why
carried
so many people,
now.
It carried into now. Because now, even so, it's not just the Black men teaching anymore. It's single mothers now. Get your ass up. Don't cry. I hear girls talking to their kids. Don't act like no bitch.
Girls say it today, be tough.
And I tell my son, it's okay to cry, baby. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a difference. It's okay to cry as long as you're not crying for no reason. As long as you're not crying just because you didn't get what you wanted or something. But if somebody hurts your feelings, you know what I mean? And you feeling like you got to let that cry out, you need to come talk to me. You know what I mean? I would never want a Black man, you know what I mean, to feel like he can't be. Mm-hmm. It's not even. It's not about being soft. It's not, about being human.
That's it.
And that's why That's why so many black men are not allowed the right to be treated as humans, because y'all looked at as some type of like. Y'all looked at more as like machines.
Yeah.
Than humans. You know what I mean? Like, no, get up, go to work, providers, get to bed. And, yeah, and provide, protect,
and that's it. Yeah.
You know what it is though too. I feel like us black men, we have those thoughts, but it has to be a safe space, right? So I know as men, sometimes we could express something to a woman, right? And as soon as she uses that against us,
yeah,
we will never say it again.
Yeah,
we will never open up epic. And we shut. That's how we shut
down.
That's true. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And I feel like it just has to be a safe, until we comfortable to that safe place where it's like, whatever we use is not going to turn against us, or whatever we are, or if we're allowed to open that safe space and we're like, all right, this is how I'm feeling, and I'm not going to be judged on how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I've learned is like now that like I get the safe, I totally get the safe space. That's maybe what makes it easier for it to pass through, right? Mm-hmm. But now, like sometimes you gotta whether it's a safe space or not, you gotta be comfortable enough to know yourself.
This is what it's going to be. Because even if you hear it back, it's like, this is what I was going through at that moment. You can't throw that in my face, because it's not even
what I am right now.
Because
if you're not making it safe enough for me, then you gotta go. Nothing is wrong with me for the fact that I'm feeling this emotion and I have to cry, or I have to let this emotion pass or whatever. The fact that you're not allowing me to, and you're not letting me feel safe in this moment, you're the one. It's not me. It's not. It says something about you as a person. You get what I'm saying? Like I saw the post about you. Did y'all see the post with Michael B. Jordan and the guy? I forgot his name. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. The guy from the movie.
I'm going to see it tomorrow.
They have a picture. They don't like Essence magazine or something, and they're like hugging each other, and they have like their head to each other. They're just showing affection to each other. It's black men, and it's nothing like other races. They don't say anything about that. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but us, it's like, oh, I don't like everyone. A lot of women were commenting on the picture, saying that they don't like it, and it looks sus.
They are trying to emasculate a lot of black men, though. They are, because that boy was in that boy, the one that was the other one. He was in that video, cocked up like a bitch. I'm not gonna lie. And there's certain things as black men, because hugging and showing affection, that's fine. You should be able to hug your brother, but it's also certain ways that they'll try to put it in the media, because the industry is full of. You know, people that are that way. And I'm not against it or nothing like that. Everybody's to their own. But in a lot of the times, they come to the black community and they try to make black men that wouldn't do this any other type of way. Just like every black comedian, you know, they dressed up as a female.
Yeah.
They had all of them dressed up as women.
Yeah.
And there's a certain thing, you shouldn't have to be rich, or there's a lot of white successful actors that never had to dress up as that, and they never will. Right. George Clooney won't do that.
You know what I'm saying? Seinfeld won't do that.
Right. But then if people like Will Smith, people who we respect and love, they're going to put that on them. So yeah, I do agree that black men should be able to say, I love you. I see a lot more black men being more openly affectionate towards one another, like my heart, my brother, da-da-da-da. That's fine. But when you start putting a black man on a thing and he got like some zesty top on, that's always going to be questionable, But it's like, if you are that way, then you are that way. But it's like, it's a lot of sassy brothers. I'm not going to lie. Y'all not them. It's some sassy brothers.
Because of all of that, and like, I don't know, like my injury and stuff, I just realized that life is really short, right? So I take nothing for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take nothing for granted. So therefore, like, the people that I do care for and I have in my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I love you, I love you. I don't hesitate to say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that moment might not pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would have happened? God forbid if something happened on that boat. So the people that I do love, I say it all the time. And I don't have any regrets from saying it. You know, some people will be like they feel it, but they don't want to say it because they think it's just weird or awkward. I don't give a fuck. I say it and let people know how I feel. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because life is really, really short and you just never know.
Right.
You know, so I don't care who it is. Like, I have a son. My son, AJ is 20. And I don't, like, it's crazy because, like, even,
you
like.
Look 20.
In the community I grew up in, it's so weird. Like, I'm talking about, man, I'm surrounded by like gangsters, man, hardcore dudes. I'm talking about, man, they done did some things. Like, I done seen, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all done did some, and they love me so much. And it's crazy because, like, I'm one of the only guys that I see them do this to.
They're gonna be comfortable with
it. They, like, we hug, like, they'll dap me. Mm-hmm. They don't do this to each other, but to me, like, they'll dap me. hug me, and then they give me like a kiss on the cheek, like a soap, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, remind me like some mob type shit, like, remind me of that, but it's still, but, and they don't do that to each other, but they do that to me, you get what I'm saying? And it just said, but it's also like the energy and the love.
You love and light, right? Then people are gonna attract to it, like, oh my God, they feel comfortable doing things that they would never feel comfortable with, because you have that type of energy. When you're a good, when you're comfortable in your sexuality, you know what I mean? You're not gonna be afraid. It's a lot of people that are afraid because they do genuinely. If you're afraid to hug another man, you understand what I'm saying? Then it might be something with you. If you can't kiss your brother on the cheek, you know what I mean? If you can't kiss your son and show certain affection, then that's something with you. That's not nothing, you know, that's not nothing with the next person. So I would never say two people are gay because they, two men are gay because they show affection. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think black men showing each other affection, because white boys do it all the time. And white boys say the gayest shit, but they don't even be gay.
No, for
they'll
real.
They'll be like, yo, bro, I love you so much, I'll suck your dick.
No, for real.
And then it's just like, but they don't do nothing. They're not thinking, they're going home to their wives and they're comfortable. Like, nobody
don't do it, man.
And nobody looked at funny, them, nobody looked at them like that, but still. But either way, I just wanted to say thank you so much for just even coming on and sharing your story with us and just telling. And you have, like, you're a beast. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because for you to just get injured, for you to even come on the show for... And first of all, he had a whole appointment. These are new legs,
I just got these today.
He got these legs today.
Because he said this
Mans can barely walk in them. He's holding a wall.
I can't even really walk in these right now because... I was supposed to be there at like 8, but then I got there like 9 something. And it was deep in Jersey. Because it was traffic or whatever. So when the time was reaching for me to start making my way over here, I asked them, I said, you know what, let's put a break on this. I'll try to come back in tomorrow. Because to me, this is more important than me. This is more important than, you know, than you guys to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful for what you guys put together, because in our community, you know, you don't see too many of this.
Right. Yeah. Especially black. Yeah. And disabled.
Like, secondly, you don't see too many cool, like, you know, we just chilling, bro. Like, you feel me? Like, we're not trying to be.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, I told him when I first, I think I said that already, when I first got injured.
Which part?
When I first got injured, it was you guys that made me feel.
Oh, yeah.
I see it. You know what I mean? So, it did that for me.
Right.
So, I can only be grateful that I can contribute for an episode that may do that for somebody that's in
situation. What would be your message to somebody that just lost both of their legs? They're young, they have their whole life ahead of them just like you, and they're in that hospital bed right now. What would you say to them?
Truth be told, I get this question a few times, and the most I can say is, know who you are.
Mm.
Know what I mean? Because with me, I was told, bro, you're not gonna be able to walk for at least 4 years. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. You should start like this. You should start like that. Now, here's the thing. It's all coming from a good place.
Right.
It's all coming from a place of love. But it's actually also coming from a place of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid, like, this was me?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could just...
I wouldn't be,
You feel me? Yeah. So you may not be able to do it. But with me, I never truly gave an answer, because as they were advising me on those things, and I took a lot of the advice. I took them. But as I was listening, what I was reciting in my head was that, you don't know me, dog.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? So if I did it, you could do it.
Yeah.
Mm. Here's the thing. It's not gonna be easy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're gonna fall 1,000 times before you take your... No, like, it's seriously, before you take your first 10 steps without falling, you're going to fall like 1,000 times.
Mm.
So I would say, do the homework. Mm. Do the homework. Know what you're getting into. Most of all, know yourself.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this. If you know you're a fighter, if you know you're a lion, if you know you're going to get there and you're going to say, I'm not going to be defeated, then you go and you fight. If you know you're one of those people who is like, you know what? I'm not going to be defeated, but I'm not as rough. Yeah. I may need to just tone down and take it slow. Do that. Don't try to come at it at an opposite angle and at a different angle.
At your own pace.
Yeah, and then you play yourself in a bigger trouble, and then you have to wait longer and all. No. Know who you are and execute accordingly. That's what I would do.
Preach.
Yeah.
I got one more question. Do you, because we had an amputee on for our previous season.
First season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you experience phantom pain?
Phantom spasms.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good
I'm
one.
Feeling it right now.
So what is it? What is the feeling like? You feel like the leg is there?
Yeah. So basically, all right. The best way I can express it, you know television, like, you know, white noise. Mm-hmm. Like, you imagine static. Feeling that.
Oh, but you feel like your leg is still there, though.
Yeah, but imagine feeling that in your toes, in your foot, and it's not there. Like, you feel it. You feel on your, like, you feel like your toes like this.
Feel like it's itching or something.
Yeah, but it's not there. Mm-hmm. And then you get these times where, imagine a knife, not even a knife, a letter opener.
Those are my spasms. Yeah, those are my... I get, so you get both I get of them? Two different kinds. Uh-huh.
That's the difference between phantom sensation and phantom pain. Phantom pain.
Yeah.
Phantom pain is... That
one, yeah,
pain.
One, yeah. One of the spasms I get, it feel like a knife. I feel like
exactly. This is not right.
Yeah. One of the spasms I get, it feel like a knife, right? It feel like someone has a knife, and it feel like it starts at the, like right here at the big toe,
and
it feel like it just rips all the way up, and the pain it doesn't stop. That's why it lasts 15-30 seconds because it goes, up, it works its way upward. It feel like, mind you, I can't feel my legs, but it feels as if it stops right here, and that's when the spasm, and that's one of them, and then the other one, it feels like more of a banging. Like a hammer or something, like someone has like something
and going juke.
Yeah.
Juke. Yeah.
But and that's weird because I could like I can't feel the outside, but I always know like where my legs are. Like,
yeah.
Where they're placed, how they are, what they're doing. Like even if they're falling off, like I can feel it out of place. Like it's weird. Like I still feel the inside. Like it's like I could feel the insides but not the outsides. It's a weird ass feeling. Like my toes, like I feel them there. I just can't move them. Like it just feels like a fucking. Mm. It feels like a stuck, numb feeling. Like something's there, but it needs to be awakened.
But you don't feel any sensation. It's
like
just
I can't.
Stuck.
No. Like if water runs on it, I can feel that water's running on it. I just can't feel if it's.
Feel
cold.
The pressure.
I can't feel it. Yeah, I can feel. I feel the pressure. Yeah. Like if somebody is hitting me, I know. If somebody drops my like my leg falls or something, I'll know. Like, but it's weird because it's not. The same, like it's not the same as it was, but it's still something, and that's why I just be like, oh, just a little bit of faith. Faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah, it's been weird the past like 2 months. Not to cut you off, it's like the past 2 months I've had like I've been getting more feeling in my left foot. Like I feel the water getting a little more hotter. I feel like I've seen like a muscle jumping in like
but
my
you
knee.
Work
I'm
out
like,
a lot.
Yeah, probably that too.
You work out a lot. You don't know what your body because your injury is incomplete.
Yeah,
so you don't know what your body can produce, and that's the beauty about. Just this fucking life in general. You never know. Once you put in that motherfucking work, because the doctors don't tell you put in that work, they get you used to that shit. So imagine if you've been doing all this shit from when you first started.
Yeah.
And now imagine 20 years, 30 years later, you walking into your Oscar. You know what I mean? Nothing's impossible.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we face in our community is what you just said, is that the doctors don't tell you this.
They
just
don't
tell
want
you,
to.
You know, it's
they
sad.
They make no money off of you being in a chair.
Yeah.
They
tell you how to adjust to it.
If you get healthy, you ain't they ain't making no money off
because
of you.
Because a lot of times, they don't, not a lot, yeah, most of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Because I still have an issue with my right limb, and it's nothing. I'm like, no, it's something.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what we need to focus on in our community. Primarily is the right information because when somebody go through something traumatic like we did, they wake up panicking. Even if you don't know it, you wake up panicking. You're like, I'm cool, but you panicking like, okay, what's next?
Right.
You know, if you just got amputated where you waiting for knees, you're like, I'm not gonna get knees. Should I start with knees or should I start with stubbies? Should I do this or should I do that? There's nobody that's here.
So I think it's just pretty much too much. It's the business side of it, right? I think people need to focus on the morality side,
Because
it's very business. Like, at the end of the day, we're still humans. We're still people that went through something traumatic. Anybody that went through something, it's very traumatic to them.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes doctors forget about
they're
that.
They're just fighting for the business.
Yeah, it's the business like, part of it. Yeah.
Who's going to get them?
They're not forgetting about it. That's their practice, bro.
That's how they make their money.
That's how they make their money, right? That's how they make their money, bro. So that's not they. I don't know.
We don't want to go to war with the doctors. We like,
no, not at all.
We need you guys.
Not at all. The thing about it is, I honestly don't think it's I may be naive for saying this, but I truly don't believe that it's something that they do purposely. I believe that it's something that
I do.
You do?
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
I do because
I feel like
I remember only one time that I met one. Well, most of them. I met one doctor. And I told him, like, I caught a spasm in front of him, and he was like, what medication do you take for it? And I told him, I said, I don't take anything anymore, you know? He was a Chinese doctor, and he was like, he said, good for you. That was the only time I ever got, and we had a dialogue going back and forth, and he understood. I told him, like, the reason being, like I said, the medication wasn't helping, wasn't doing anything. Meanwhile, the spasms were still coming. So what am I benefiting from it, right? So, but the other doctors, when I caught the spasms in front of them, they're like, what are you taking for? And I'm like, nothing. They were just like, oh, well, you should start taking your medication. You should take your medication. You should do this and do that. And I'm asking them, like, but what are the benefits? And I'm telling, and they're telling me, like, I'm telling them, like, all these side effects from one of the medications. I remember the Neurontin.
Gabapentin.
Yo, bro, like, it's...
and it doesn't work.
Oh, what's the when you want to kill yourself? They say depression.
They can say you want to kill yourself.
No, for real. That's one of the side effects. They say hallucination. Yeah. All kind of side effects. Nothing good. There was like 20 different side effects. Nothing good. Weight gain. Mad stuff. Everything negative, bro. And it's like, and I'm like, yo, so why would I be taking this medication? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do half of the things that I'm doing right now if I was taking this medication. What am I benefiting from it, right? So at the end of the day, it's just like, to me, the way I look at it, it's like a hairdresser. Say a hairdresser, right? If they say, okay, if I curl your hair like this in the back and bump it in the front, and then you will never have to see me again.
Right.
You're like, they're getting paid by writing scripts. Mm-hmm. Right. So what am I, you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's how they get paid. That's how they make their living.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. So why would they do that? And then, I mean, tell me, like, when I asked a few of them, I was like, yo, so is black seed oil good for me? They're like, oh, I don't know. Like, they won't tell you about herbs. Herbal stuff. They won't tell you no herbal stuff, but they'll give you some pills real quick. They'll give you some pills real fast.
Biggest business.
And it's also a domino effect, right?
I love you guys.
Because it's what they taught. I love
you guys to death. I'm about to tell you all the realest shit on this podcast. I got to get my wheelchair fixed today, and my rod is outside. We are flying over the top. I'm not the way. God bless everyone.
Hold on, let's end it like this. Like,
positive note.
On a positive note,
my wheelchair getting fixed today.
Uh-huh. Ranger, we thank you for coming.
Yo, I love this dialogue. So yeah, bro, man, it was great to meet you.
Where they can find you at?
We're gonna drop his link in it, but it's Ranger.
Yeah, Ranger Young on Instagram. IG. Yeah, on Instagram.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for everything.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you guys for what you guys do for the community.
Out there, and definitely, remember to like, share, and subscribe. Thank you.
Cool kids.